B-Pod Studios.
This is the home of the game. And these guys, Toucher and Rich, on Boston's home for sports, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
98.5, The Sports Hub, with Toucher and Rich. We talk about Manish a lot. Like Manish. Manish Mehta covers the Jets, the NFL, for the New York Daily News. He joins us on the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline. Now, the reason we're having Manish on is that there are times that are very magical in someone who consumes sports, and that is when there is a deep vitriol spewing forth, a righteous anger, and that is the case with Manish Mehta in these New York Jets. And Manish joins us on the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline. Manish, hello.
Hey, guys. How are you?
We are well. All right. So I'm a Jets fan, and I'm a fan of you. And so I'm very familiar with the goings-on. So let's go through the evolution of what's happening. When Adam Gase is first hired, you, like myself, we are Darnold fans, and were at the time. And the belief was that Gase was going to be someone who was a quarterback whisperer. He was brought in pretty much to groom Darnold, correct?
Yes, that's pretty much the only reason that he was hired, yes.
And we thought at the time this wasn't the world's worst hiring, correct?
Correct, yeah. You know, look, the finalists for the job were Matt Rhule, Todd Monken, and Adam Gase. Those are the three finalists. And I wouldn't have put Gase as my top choice, but I did not see a big issue with it, simply because the organization wanted to find someone who could develop Darnold, and they believed that that Gase would be that guy. And I know I do think that Gase has good ideas swimming around in his head. It's just, I definitely underestimated the value of leadership, and he exhibits none of that.
Okay, so let's get down to his flaws. All right, his character flaws. When you were covering him, right away you realized that there is a undeserved ego towards him. Is that safe to say?
I think that's safe to say. It's funny because, when you have to do a sketch on the finalists and the candidates during a coaching search, you really only have, a week to 10 days before the decision is ultimately made. You get a much clearer picture of how someone operates when you actually start covering them. And, as you said, it didn't take long, a few months after he got the job, when, I started hearing a lot of stories about, how he was conducting his business behind closed doors. And it was eye-opening, to say the least. And then it just seemingly got worse over time.
Now, take us into the depths of just how terrible it is there and how terrible he is.
Well, he's not a leader. So, if you just go back to last year, they were 1-7 at the midway point. And that's usually a time when if you're a player and an assistant coach, anybody really affiliated with the organization, you look to your head coach to pull everybody together. Because it's easy to be smiling and taking all the credit when things are going well. When things, for example, are going well with Peyton Manning as your quarterback. But when things are tough and things are, down in the dumps like they were in the first half of last year, and clearly as they are right now for the Jets, you need someone to look to be inspired by. And Adam Gase is the type of head coach who kind of just goes into a bunker, looks at film and hopes that things will magically correct itself. He doesn't bring people together. That's a roundabout way of me saying he's a really poor leader. And I definitely underestimated that when they hired him. Clearly the organization did as well.
Hang on, Manish. You are playing coy this morning, my friend. Only 2 days ago, you put on Twitter, Adam Gase is more than a bad NFL coach. He is a malignant, duplicitous presence that constantly trashes his own players, coaches in front office behind the scenes to shield himself from blame, a cancer that must be removed right now. Hashtag take flight. You write something
which is mean,
like
by the
that.
Way. The take flight thing is an affectation that is not lost on anyone.
That's the official team hashtag.
So. I know. They took away your press pass and you got pissed.
Look, I'll say this about Gase. He never accepts responsibility for mistakes. As you just read, he does disparage players behind the scenes. Most recently, and probably most relevant right now, was Le'Veon Bell. Le'Veon Bell did not know Adam Gase when he signed his four-year deal in free agency last year. However, Adam Gase never wanted Le'Veon Bell because he never wanted to adjust to scheme his offense around a player, no matter how good the player is. Obviously, this is an all-pro running back. So there was friction right from the start, but it was one-sided. And Le'Veon Bell did everything he could. In fact, I know that he did everything he could to try to make this work. But Adam Gase is just a stubborn guy. And he is not the only player. You know, before training camp started, Jamal Adams told me on the record that he does not believe that Adam Gase is the right coach to lead this team to the promised land and that he does not communicate with everyone. This is your best player on the record criticizing your head coach. That rarely happens. And it happens because it's true. And not many people have the cachet that Jamal Adams did. But I know that there's a lot of people in that organization that echo those sentiments. They just don't want to say it publicly. Whereas Jamal Adams said, hey, look, enough is enough. You know, this guy is the wrong guy to be in charge. And that's the prevailing sentiment in that building right now. And it's obvious because he will not be the head coach in 2021. It's really just a matter of, who's going to decide to part ways with him when.
Then why have they not fired him now? Because it can't be just that bad that they, like, it's so obvious that they're tanking that they're going to keep him there. Like, why have they not even feigned any type of, hey, we're trying, by firing him?
That's the million-dollar question. Now, what I can say about that is that the owner is Woody Johnson, not Christopher Johnson. Christopher Johnson, you know, minority owner, a couple percent, the younger brother of Woody Johnson. He's the CEO, the guy in charge of day-to-day operations while Woody was while Woody is in the UK as the Trump ambassador for only a couple more months, we'll see. But when Woody Johnson does come back, he's going to have the final say. I think there's a financial component to this. Frankly, it's laughable because it's not that big of a difference. If you let go of Adam Gase, you elevate one of your coordinators, you would think, and probably give that guy a marginal pay bump. But I just think that it's a dysfunctional organization for a reason. The word dysfunction was created for a reason. The word inept exists in the English language for a reason. So, look, I did not make these guys dysfunctional. I did not make some of these decision makers inept and poor at their job. They did that all on their own. It's my job to chronicle what's happening. If they were 6-0, I would not be calling them dysfunctional. I would not be, because they wouldn't be dysfunctional, frankly, in all likelihood, right? They'd be doing things the right way. But this organization does not do things the right way because they have poor decision makers in key spots. And sometimes it's a revolving door, and there's some people that have been there for a long time. But that is why they are the New York Jets. I mean, that's just a simplified way of me saying it. It's not as if people want them to fail. They fail on their own. And then when they're held accountable for their decisions that lead to that failure, they are not particularly happy with it instead of actually correcting the problem.
Okay, you write that article that was just, I mean, it was vicious. It was an art. It was great. I praised it. Very rarely does someone cover a team who can't stand someone in that team as much as you can't stand Adam Gase, which I love. But when you write something like that article that came out, who do you hear from? Is it players saying way to go? People in the organization? Do you hear from Adam Gase?
Well, obviously I can't reveal who I speak to, but I have heard, I guess, because it's continuing, from plenty of people who think that, that was something that needed to be said, written, however you want to describe it.
In the organization.
Yes, in the organization. In the organization, these people do not believe in Adam Gase. And anyone who tells you that people believe in Adam Gase, and look, it's not unanimous, obviously. I don't talk to, 150 people who are associated day in and day out with the organization. But, I talk to enough people and the right people to know over time. Now, he's been here for a year and a half. I talk to enough people to know that they don't believe in him. Because ultimately, if you are authentic, if you are real and true with your intentions, people will see that. But if you are duplicitous, as I said, he is, which he is, if you are fugazi, which is a word that I like to use, people will see that. Ultimately, if you are constantly talking poorly about people in your own organization, and it's not just players, it's not just Le'Veon Bell, it's not just Jamal Adams. Remember, this is a man who backstabbed the general manager who got him hired 3 months after he got hired. I mean, that to me is rare. I mean, that in many ways, that's a skill. It's a skill that I hope I never have, but that's who this person is. But so when I say he's worse than a bad head coach, his actions in relation to the team And that's what I'm talking about. I'm talking about within the scope of the Jets, his decision-making, the way he comports himself as the head coach of the team, and things that he does that impact the team. Those things are not befitting a head coach or leader.
All right, what about Joe Douglas, the GM? Is he inept, or is he just riding this thing out right now?
Well, the decisions that Douglas has made have been extremely poor, and that bears out. Just look at who he signed in free agency. By and large, all guys who are not making any impact. Look at the guys who he did not bring back in free agency, most notably Robbie Anderson, who was second in the NFL in receiving, by the way, behind DeAndre Hopkins as we wake up this morning. He did not sign Robbie Anderson, who had a developing rapport with Sam Darnold, who supposedly was the centerpiece of the franchise, and he let Robbie Anderson walk over a few million-dollar difference. And it's not as if Robbie Anderson broke the bank in Carolina. He signed a two-year, $20 million deal, only a guarantee of one. I think it was a guarantee of 1 year for $12 million this year. It's a reasonable, fair market deal that the Panthers gave him. So it's not as if the Jets can say, well, look, I mean, somebody gave him $16 million a year. We can't match that. This was an affordable deal by every objective measure. He let him walk. And I have never seen, and you guys can correct me if I'm wrong, but if you look at the young quarterbacks in this league, whether it's Josh Allen in this division or Kyler Murray or Baker Mayfield or Lamar Jackson, what do all those guys have in common? Their teams supplemented that young quarterback with talent at skill position players, at skill positions, right? They beefed up the offensive skill positions to help their young quarterbacks grow and develop. Well, the Jets did the exact opposite. They took away probably Sam Darnold's best young piece in Robbie Anderson, and then a week ago, they took away one of the few remaining weapons that Darnold actually has in Le'Veon Bell. So now Sam Darnold is left with probably, you know, arguably the worst supporting cast in the NFL, and this is a quarterback in his third year. You have to make a critical decision over the next year or so about whether, and maybe over the next couple months or so, about whether he is going to be your franchise quarterback. How do you evaluate a young quarterback when you don't give him any weapons, when you just reshuffle the deck along the offensive line, which still stinks? I don't understand what Joe Douglas is doing. Now, he did not have all the money at his disposal. That's an indictment on the Johnson brothers. They didn't give him a budget that I think a first-time general manager heading into their first free agency should get. That being said, when you're shopping in the clearance rack, you've got to find some bargains. You've got to find some good players. He shopped at the clearance rack and got terrible players. So, yeah, some of the stink is on Joe Douglas. He's not the number one culprit. That goes to ownership. And then it goes down to Adam Gase. But ultimately, Joe Douglas shares responsibility in all this mess.
So is this the worst the Jets have ever been?
Yeah, look, the only thing comparable, obviously, back in 1996, when they were 1-15 with Kotite, they started off 0-8. This is, you know, on par with that, which is, you know, anytime you invoke Rich Kotite into the discussion, you know that things are not heading in the right direction.
All right, Trevor Lawrence, is he actually going to come if they get the first pick?
Yeah, that's a great question. Now, if they have the one pick, they are going to trade Sam Darnold, and they will draft Trevor Lawrence. It's just a matter of, you know, I can't get in Trevor Lawrence's head. I don't know. And we still have 10 games left, guys. I think I'm still in the minority here because Darnold is such a streaky player. He gets hot, you know, when you don't expect it. I do not think the Jets are ultimately going to have the one pick. And people will say, well, how can you say that? Because this is a historically bad team through 6 weeks. But I just got a feeling that they're going to win a couple games, and they're going to, you know, look. They're going to be on the outside looking in when it comes to the Trevor Lawrence sweepstakes.
Figures. Oh, what do you think they get for Darnold?
I think that they would obviously shoot for a first rounder, which they would not get. I wouldn't believe, because if they had the number one pick and they're willing to trade him, you would assume that Darnold didn't play particularly well the rest of the season. So if they could get a second round pick, that to me would make sense. Who knows? Maybe they ultimately have to settle for a third rounder.
See, I think they could they could get a late first rounder.
That was the argument earlier.
I think a team like Pittsburgh would trade a late first rounder. Why wouldn't you? All right. Well, Manish Mehta, it's good to know that the Jets are the Jets are the Jets. Thank you so much for the time. You can read him on the New York Daily News, NY Daily News. Thank you so much for the time.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
All right, we appreciate it. There you go. It's a dumpster fire. That's
what
it's like.
He is a great person to read. For those people who aren't even Jet fans and kind of like, oh, the Jets suck, read Manish Mehta.
I argue that more Patriots fans might be into his stuff than Jets fans are. Because at some point, as a Jets fan, you're probably just like, all right, I know it, I get it.
Sure.
But just watching him absolutely destroy that team is just, it's as I said, Manish, it's poetry.
2 years ago, Manish was called a cheerleader by a lot of people because he was so positive about the organization. Because
he
of the
does
Darnold.
That so he can tear them down when they don't deliver.
No, I think he legitimately liked Darnold. I think he really, really liked Darnold. And I know the organization did. I know that he was the number one quarterback on their board. And I think that, it, like many of us, who knows? Darnold could be great. Who would ever know? I mean, no one knows.
That's the point. They haven't given him anything.
Yeah,
to,
no
to
one knows.
His talent, he might be good, but no one's going to find out.
Well, he's certainly not bad, so we know that. But, I mean, he could be really, really good. I don't know. How
you know
would I know?
The rumor is? There was a rumor that just came out yesterday. Some NFL insider, I don't have the name in front of me, but it's not like one of the big names, but it's a respected name, said that at the trade deadline, there could be a case where Dallas would trade for Sam Darnold.
Because
there's such a disaster right now, what's going on there, that they would bring in Sam Darnold. And I guess the upside would be if for some reason Darnold ends up working out, which he won't, but in their minds, if he worked out, then maybe they rethink giving Dak Prescott all of that money that Jerry Jones seems to not want to give him.
I don't know why Darnold wouldn't work out there. I think Darnold would work out there. He would work out in Dallas. They got nothing but weapons.
The Dallas
I could coach quarterback for Dallas.
Because their coaching is a disaster.
Yes,
right now.
The Dallas offensive line is as bad as the Jets right now. That's the other part of it.
And like there's players on Dallas who are coming out and saying that the coaches aren't even prepared every single
Well, that's
week.
Obvious. That's obvious. McCarthy's not a good football coach. That's completely obvious. He got by on a young Aaron Rodgers.
That's true.
All right. So we'll be back. Jaylen Brown was on what? Ellen or something like that?
Yep.
He had one of these like old guy stories where you go, they don't make them like this anymore. We'll have that for you in just a moment.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
This is not your conventional sports radio show.
It's become painfully clear.
Toucher and Rich, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
98.5, The Sports Hub. We are Toucher and Rich. Q-Tip on this song, and then also they have that virtual reality commercial now with that Push the Button song that Q-Tip is randomly on.
Q-Tip is in Grooves in the Heart?
Yeah.
Wow,
he raps on this for quite some time. His face pops up on the video. He wasn't on the set. You can tell that he wasn't there, but it's like esoteric in that video that he's got, where you can tell he wasn't on the set. They just put him in the on the TV there, which was like, I've seen other stuff like that. Did you see the We Care a Lot that Esoteric is in?
No.
Okay.
Like Faith No More's We Care a Lot?
Yeah, but it's a remake. It's got the bassist from Anthrax, the drummer from Korn.
Or is it the drummer who filled in for the drummer for Korn, Mike Borden?
It's not Mike Borden.
Okay.
It is not Mike Borden. It's some guy from Korn, but it's not the handsome guy from Korn that I can tell. Yeah. Remember when Korn had the one handsome guy?
He got carpal tunnel and couldn't play anymore.
What a loser. let's see. Esoteric, We Care a Lot. Yes, it has. I'll tell you who it has. It has. It's called The Kings of Quarantine, and it has Frank Bello from Anthrax, Ray Luzier from Korn, Bill Kalhire from Mastodon, Ivan Dortschuk from Men Without Hats. He's on keyboards.
Hey, are you kidding me? Very nice. The safety dance.
Dennis Lixon from Refused, who's terrible on it. Walter Schreffels from Quicksand.
Oh, yeah, Walt Schreffels. That's right. He's from Quicksand.
Yes, that's right.
Yeah, Quicksand is unbelievable. By the way, Ray Luzier, he's like a lifetime like gig drummer. He's not anything from Korn. Like he was in Steel Panther for a while and a bunch of other, in
parentheses it says Korn. I'm only reading.
Dude, he was David Lee Roth's drummer. I think he might have played on Yankee Rose.
No, he didn't.
Oh.
No. That is
well. Ray Luzier was in his band. Maybe they're not.
No, the guy from Yankee Rose is his last name starts
Bissonnette,
with a B.
Gary Bissonnette.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
Kevin Sharp from Brutal Truth? Daryl McDaniels, of course, from Run DMC. Esoteric, Richard Patrick from Filter, and Rain from Our Lady Peace. But the thing is that. So if you have Rain, here's what's criminal about the We Care A Lot cover. First of all, We Care A Lot's not a very good song. But second of all,
I agree. I've loved Faith No More. Never liked that song.
Oh, no. Their original lineup is terrible. I mean, no one likes the first Faith No More album. But what I'll say is in Esoteric doesn't do anything on it either. He doesn't rap or anything. It's just a straight cover of it. But if you have Rain from Our Lady Peace and you don't let him sing... Like, he doesn't sing lead on it at all. It's the dude from The Refused who's awful. And then a guy from some other group sings, who's fine. But if it Richard Patrick, not good.
I love Richard Patrick.
I know you do. But he doesn't
Filter's
sound...
underrated band, yeah.
He doesn't sound the same. He sounds weird. But if you don't let Rain sing... Rain's got one of the most incredible voices in rock music.
Rain, Maida, and Our Lady Peace, extremely underrated alternative.
They're a tremendous band. And fantastic guys. Fantastic guys. They were punished for being Canadian, and I'm not kidding. They got screwed a lot because they were a Canadian band.
I think Walter from Quicksand probably sang on that because he's the singer.
He did not sing.
He plays guitar.
There's guys that aren't mentioned. There's a band that I've heard of, but the guy sings on it. The guy from Quicksand doesn't sing. He's one of the him, Esoteric, and Rain don't do really anything. They don't really. I think the guy from Brutal Truth sings, Kevin Sharp. And he holds up like that he has the Faith No More albums. He's very proud of himself. Well, we just did 5 minutes on a cover of We Care A Lot. All right, so I'll tell you this. It speaks of Ellen's fall from, I guess, the mainstream. Now that Drew Barrymore's got a daytime talk show. Oh. And Kelly Clarkson's right there. But she had, of all people, Jaylen Brown.
I thought about that, too. Like, Jaylen Brown, like, obviously, we're huge fans of Jaylen Brown and like him around here, but I didn't realize he was big enough.
No.
People, to have a sit down with Ellen DeGeneres.
No, I think it's more of an indictment on Ellen DeGeneres' ability to book guests right now than it is a Jaylen Brown thing.
Like, who was on the show the same day that Jaylen Brown was?
It was George Clooney and Donald Trump.
Like, it was like the fourth guy from 98 Degrees.
Yes, it was the ugly guys in boy bands. It was the guy who run for comptroller of Cincinnati. And all right, so Jaylen Brown. Now, did his grandfather pass away right before they went to the bubble? Right,
he got sick, so he had cancer. I think he's still alive.
Oh, he's still alive. Yeah, oh, yeah, very good. Yes.
I know he's still alive.
Okay, so this is here he is on Ellen, and he's talking about his grandfather, and this is the kind of old school instructability. Even though I don't know how old he is, but this listen to what this guy's been through.
So you played the first half of the season regular, and then second half in a bubble.
Mm-hmm.
How was that?
An experience, for sure. I think it turned out, well. I think the union and the NBA did a good job. There was zero positive tests for corona that was detected, so I thought it was a success.
You almost didn't go into the bubble, and what changed your mind?
Really, my grandpa was diagnosed with cancer just right before they were talking about getting ready to go into the bubble. He's been living with me for the last 4, 5, or 6 months, so he needed me around. When we had the conversation, he didn't necessarily want to start his chemo. He was just going to come to terms. He's like the toughest guy I've ever met, by the way. Got to introduce him. He's like a superhero. Like, he's been to the Vietnam War. He's been shot in the head twice. He's had a heart attack, cancer, COVID all at the same time, and has beat it all.
Wow.
And how I convinced him was like, I'm going to go down there and play. But you got to play too. So he liked the sound of that, and he signed up. And
how's he doing?
He's doing good now.
Good, good.
He's doing great.
Yeah. So that is a man who has been shot at, cancer, COVID, everything else under the sun.
That is some ASMR stuff that Jaylen Brown has going on right
there. Well, I think that what happens is that you get on Ellen and you're kind of talking to the ladies.
You know, that's kind of how he talks, but just to have him go like that, ooh.
I know, but I think that when you go on Ellen, I think that, when your PR person's rubbing your shoulders before you get on the big stage that Pauly D was once the house DJ for. They wet down his hair, and it did not go down. DJ Pauly Del Vecchio, Providence's own. I think that they go like, you know, this is 99% women, and the gay dudes have turned on her. So this is just make them moist. Get out there with your best Barry White.
Good for him getting a. I mean, listen,
I think that Ellen is a little bit like the plague right now. I don't think a lot of people are doing the Ellen show, which is a shame because, I mean, really, is it fair to her? She's brought us so much joy with her stuff that no one I've never seen. I mean, I have a feeling she danced.
She probably did at some point. Did her, you know, Jaylen Brown start dancing?
Did she ever feign a crush on an obvious male like Rosie O'Donnell did before she came out? Remember when Rosie O'Donnell was like Tom Cruise? Yeah. And you're like, okay, yeah, Rosie, yeah, he's handsome. Hachi machi, yes, Rosie, you like men. Come on now, Tom Cruise. It's like Mickey Mantle baseball. Oh, boy. But there you go, Jalen Rose. Speaking Jaylen of basketball, Jaylen Brown. Jalen Rose is better. He is much better. But we were talking, town youth basketball this year.
Yep, travel ball. Yep, not good.
It was going to be the last thing I coached my son. I've enjoyed it so much. Because the travel basketball is out of my hands, and it's a whole racket. But the town basketball, very fun. And now that's not going to happen. It's just not going to happen this year. It's a shame. I'm going to miss that very much. Damn you. Damn you to hell, COVID. How dare you take that away from me? I'm going to cling. So now it's just New Hampshire. Here we come.
Yep. New Hampshire. Sign up.
He's going to play travel anyway, but. It's just going to be the games are in New Hampshire or where you can get gym space. Because I got to imagine the Reggie Lewis Center's open. So I have a feeling there's going to be a lot of trips down there.
Yep. The Dana Barros?
Dana Barros.
Yeah, Dana Barros Center.
There's a Reggie Lewis Center.
Downtown.
Downtown.
Yes.
Yeah. So Dana Barros, though. Dana Barros is that. If you got a stake in that Dana Barros.
Yeah, Dana Foxborough, you're living large.
You are
everybody's
living,
playing there. Yep.
You are living right. That they churn out, what do you think there? Because I know that Lockhart's been there a million times.
I've been there a million times.
I've been there as well. Yeah. They churn out probably 50 games a weekend.
Oh, God, yes.
At least.
They have, what, 6-7 courts?
And they're just always going.
Full.
If you want your ass to itch, just sit down at the Dano Barros Center. The minute you sit down, your ass just says, and your ass cheeks, not like your balloon holder, but your ass cheeks, the minute you sit down, your ass just goes, this is not the place for me to be sitting.
Nope. Go over to that snack bar and get comfortable.
It just smells like frustrated pubescent and itchy ass. That place just smells gross. But there it is. I mean, that might as well pitch a tent there because that's where I'm going to
be
all
there
winter.
A while. Yep,
that's where I'm going to be all winter. Maybe I'll see you. Maybe I'll see Lockhart.
It is a distinct possibility. Yes,
and distinct is what I'm talking about. All right, Rich, what's coming up in the old stackaroo? We got that on the way.
Well, two superstar receivers are rumored in trades to New England because, of course, they are. A big move in Miami, and a music legend's wife has locked him out of his home and is holding it for ransom as we speak.
I'll tell you, these musicians get themselves into all kinds of predicaments. We'll talk about this a little bit tomorrow because I am obsessed with this Tubin fella wanking it right there at the Zoom call. But Rob Halford, I am reading his biography, and you would not believe what goes on in these men's rooms. There is a whole secret language.
Oh.
And, I mean, the Four Seasons. I'm talking about nice hotels. I mean, there is they could break the codes, like in wars? Like, there were people that, Morse code and things. I mean, there is a very elaborate gay pickup situation happening, full of many nonverbal cues, many, many, many. But I'll tell you this is that, and then immediately, Rob Halford seemed to know immediately when things were going to go in the right way for
him. That's some Larry Craig stuff right there. Remember all that?
I love my wife because I am not gay.
Yes, that's right. You just have tremendous amount of gay sex at airports.
He was a wide spreader. Remember that?
Yes, indeed, he did. Because yes, because the foot tapping is nobody's secret. That everyone knows, and Rob Halford goes into a great degree. But there is a certain nonverbal language at a hotel bar. If you were sitting at a hotel bar, there is a nonverbal language, and then there is almost a silent agreement that one will follow one to the bathroom after a certain amount of time, and then there's a certain amount of etiquette involved into getting into gay sex once you're in the bathroom. It's really quite fascinating. And it's not like something you run into, you know? It's not like, you know, people that, like, walked into the bathroom and then, like, all of a sudden there's gay, like, you know, the guy wants to have gay sex with them.
It's like the Fens, you know, it's not like jingling the keys.
Right,
you know?
It's not as obvious as that, because the Fens was just a sea of desperation. No, but it's well-worn enough. The gay hookups, according to the Rob Halford book, at these nice hotels are, you're confident enough in your nonverbal cues that this is going on, and none of us are the wiser. You know, like, you don't have a friend who, at least I don't, that has gone into a bathroom and here's this guy, like, let's have gay sex.
Right.
You know, like, there was a misconstrued cue. So, very interesting. Very interesting. We are interesting. You know, don't ever let anyone tell you that the human being is not an interesting person. Non-verbally, the next thing you know, I got two glory holes working. All right, we will be back. That's a truck stop thing, not a Four Seasons thing.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Be back, hear that.
Now, more Touch of Rich. On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Now it's time to get to the stuff that we couldn't get to. It's the stack.
Stack. 98.5, the Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. He doesn't have COVID, but he's got these money bags coming in. Go ahead, Johnny Ballgame.
Stack sponsored by Window Nation. It's their buy two, get two free sale. Fred, no down payment, no down payments. No down payment, no payments, and 0% financing for 12 full months. Check them out at windownation.com.
You know what's speaking of money, you know what's garbage very quickly is Cameo. I mean, it's just total crap. I got more people telling me that they wanted the Cameo and they can't find it. Then I search for myself and I can't find myself. That whole thing's a racket. Ooh. I mean, what a ghetto industry that is. Screw
just
Cameo.
Set up your own little thing.
I'm not. I don't. It's not
directly.
Well, because then I don't want. Just Cameo just seemed like it would be easy and kind of funny, and I would do something funny for people that wanted it. And it's not even worth it. It's not. It's just garbage. I mean, it's really a poorly run thing. It's don't do it. It's just an aggravation and stupid. I thought it would be fun to make, because I was doing it with my daughter. I thought it would be fun for the two of us to make these funny videos. It wasn't even really about the money. It was about because she enjoyed it and stuff like that. And, you know, might as well make $20, you know, for doing it. But it's just become a huge headache and it's not worth it. So don't even worry about it anymore. Chris, go ahead.
Hey, I just wanted to let you know that, you know, the song Rainbow in the Dark by Ronnie James Dio.
Yep.
It's about Rob Halford.
Now, I had never heard that before. And during the break, I knew you were calling and I looked at the lyrics and they were very good friends. And of course, Rob Halford was closeted for a very long time, very painful for him. He had a horrible alcohol and drug addiction. And part of that was stemmed from his frustration of being closeted. And, I have to say, I am reading the lyrics and I can see the correlation. I can. He's Ronnie, nothing if not short mystery man. Never came out straight away and said it, but that is interesting. Did you know that, Rich?
I had no idea.
In all the time you've studied the work of Ronnie James Dio that never came across your desk?
I was in a band that covered Rainbow in the Dark and I still had no idea.
Unironically?
No, ironically. We were in a band called The Noise Boys. It was me and some of the dudes from Fozzy and Stuck Mojo.
Well, those guys from Fozzy really wrote out that novelty. They loved the parody song.
That's where it started. Like, Fozzy started from The Noise Boys, which was basically our band. And then I left, and then they brought in Chris Jericho, and that became Fozzy.
You could have been in Fozzy.
I could have been in Fozzy. You could have been hanging out with Jericho himself, Y2J.
And you could have had another job, too, in order to actually spend maybe more. All right, so, Rich, what's going on already?
All right, so much to get to, so we'll rip through the first couple of ones here, because now that you see that the Patriots have an issue at receiver, of course, every rumor now of any kind of person who wants to leave their team, or there's all smoke around the Patriots, and the two biggest names that right now are out there is, according to Nick Wright, so temper your realities on
this. He's got a
big nose.
He said yesterday, quote, "I got a text from what I will call a trusted NFL source, and the text message said the Odell trade rumblings are rumbling again." He said, now the text said nothing about the Patriots, but I want to be clear here. I want to be clear that A, it was not from Odell, the text, and I promise I give my word it was not him. And B, the text did not say any team in particular. I'm connecting the Patriots dot when I was told that the Odell trade rumblings are starting to rumble again.
Okay, yeah. So if I'm the Patriots, I mean, that's what you want to give up assets for, is Odell Beckham's contract. Good for them.
No.
So, you know, that's what you want to buy real low. Where it's not going to get any better. Good. Watch will do it, but I just...
Great guy to toss into that locker room, too.
If they get Odell Beckham Jr., it's the beginning of the end. It's truly the beginning of the end.
Well, here's a different way you could go, because there is a second name that is out there. And I mentioned earlier in the show how the Falcons... and these are people who are truly respected, like Dan Graziano, Jeremy Fowler, both from ESPN, came out with a report yesterday that the Falcons might be clearing the deck and starting all over again, including dangling Matt Ryan as trade bait out there and Julio Jones. Now, Julio Jones is an interesting one. He is signed through 2023 at an average salary of about $22 million. That's not an easy trade right there.
No, apparently,
according to them, which could make this work, the Falcons might be willing to take less than market value and actually pay some of these contracts in order to take that money off the books.
It's a luxury if you're the Patriots. You can't afford that.
I mean, if they're willing to accept some of that contract, why would you not be interested?
I guess the Falcons could be dumb, because if I was the Falcons, I guess what I would say is, if I'm going to shuffle everything around, first of all, I don't think that they're an awful team. But anyway, I guess if I'm going to move things around and I was going to draft a quarterback, maybe it wouldn't be the worst thing in the world, as we've learned from the trials and tribulations of other young quarterbacks, to have Julio Jones around to get comfortable. But
now,
whatever.
One other story in the NFL that is I really like it, because, to be quite honest, it's a ballsy move. And that is that the Miami Dolphins yesterday, a report came out that Tua Tagovailoa is going to be the starter after this bye week. Now, Ryan Fitzpatrick, by all stretches of the imagination, like, he was playing pretty well. The team was 3-3. He's been fine. But the fact that this seemed to be the plan all along, after the bye week, if he looked good in practice, they were going to give him a shot. It's a ballsy move, and I like it. And here is Brian Flores just this morning talking about it.
But, you know, we just feel like this was the best move for our team right now. You know, look, Fitz has done a great job. He's been productive. His leadership's been great. It's not an easy decision, you know, for me or us as an organization. But for the team now, moving forward, this is the move we needed to make.
Well, you weren't going to win
on this situation. That's unfortunate. I didn't get a chance to address the team before this was out, you know, in the media. It's not the way we want to do business. Unfortunately, that's kind of the way of the world right now. So that's unfortunate. I'm not happy about that at all. I'll address that to the team and really apologize.
We can debate whether or not that's true.
It's pretty funny. Listen, I didn't want it to get out there, but
all right. Well,
someone told everyone.
Maybe him sitting on the field was a little bit of a precursor to this, but good. I hope you weren't going to win the Super Bowl anyway, but I hope he doesn't get hurt.
If you're trying to win games,
you got the good fits.
Now they are. They are now.
Well, for
you
what?
Well, the division title is in play.
Well, listen, if you're not afraid of him getting hurt and you think he's healthy, might as well play him. But
a mediocre team keeps Fitzpatrick in there this year. I like the fact that they're taking a gamble on this.
If they think he's healthy enough.
Well, listen, I mean, they obviously think he's healthy enough now. And great, go for it. And to be quite honest, it's going to make Miami games a hell of a lot more fun to watch. Everyone wants to see what this guy can do. He's probably going to come out of the box and not be very good, but I think they're expecting that. I just like that that was a ballsy move because most people would have kept someone like Ryan Fitzpatrick saying, you know, he's doing fine. Let the young kid learn a little bit. Gutsy move.
Gutsy because he's fragile and small. That's what's gutsy
about. His talent has never been questioned. The question is, can he last a whole season full of punishment?
So, I mean, if they want to put him out there and go, hey, hit him, we're not going to do anything anyway.
They think he's ready, yeah. All right, and one of the weirder stories is happening right now. After almost 16 years of marriage, two children, and one divorce, Phil Collins and Orianne Savey ended their second marriage August.
He can't get a boner anymore.
He could barely walk. Yeah. The aftermath has been rather dramatic.
Not a lot of circulation.
It was a good show, but he couldn't move. Now there's been an even more shocking turn of events. According to Miami-Dade County court documents, it revealed his ex-wife allegedly seized control of his $33 million Miami mansion with the help of her new husband, a 31-year-old musician, of course, as well as four armed guards.
Cool.
The Herald is also saying that his ex-wife, quote, changed the security codes for the alarms, blocked surveillance cameras, and barred real estate agents from showing the house. Apparently, she's requested a, quote, preposterous amount of money based on an oral agreement that does not exist. It also says that this woman and her new husband are threatening implicitly and explicitly to prolong their unlawful occupation of the property through force. So she wants cash, she wants it now, or she's not turning over poor Phil Collins' house back to him.
I think if you look like Charlie Brown that much, you're pretty much, your life's going to play out like this. It's up to the hand of fate. I mean, you look too much like Charlie Brown. Some broad's always going to be pulling the football away from you, you know?
See, I thought you'd get a little more respect if you made the movie Buster. I mean, he was a lovable bank robber.
I don't know. If he's got 25 cents, I can lend him an ear. You know what I'm saying? All right, well, tomorrow's Thursday. I'm supposed to hit the links today. Why not, you know? Hey, if I can find it, right?
Fred, hit him straight.
Yeah, we have fun here. All right, everyone, have a great day. Bye.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.